of you would like to go to heaven? Asked a Sunday school teacher to her young class of students. All the eager four-year-olds raised their hands except little Tommy. Tommy was sitting in the front row, and he said to the teacher, he says, I can't. My mother told me I have to come right home after Sunday school. The reason I read this, there is an example of a boy who heard the message but chose to listen to his mother. There is a difference, I think, between hearing and listening. You know, Merriam-Webster's dictionary seems to agree with me. In fact, Merriam-Webster's dictionary says that to hear is to perceive by the ear, but to listen is to pay attention or give consideration in order to hear. In essence, hearing is unconscious activity. Listening involves conscious effort. Here's an example. Buford walked into a doctor's office the other day, and the receptionist asked him what he had. Buford said, shingles. So she took down his name, address, medical insurance number, and told him to have a seat. 15 minutes later, a nurse's aide came out and asked Buford what he had. Buford said, shingles. So she took down his height, weight, complete medical history, and told him to wait in the examining room. A half hour later, a nurse came in and asked Buford what he had. Buford said, shingles. So she gave Buford a stress test, a complete prostate exam, an electrocardiogram, and told Buford to take off all of his clothes and wait for the doctor. An hour later, the doctor finally came in and asked Buford what he had. Buford said, shingles. The doctor said, where? Buford said, outside in the truck. Where do you want them? The prostate exam really got me, huh? To be honest with you. Is there such a thing as hearing without listening? I think there is. You know, John says in Revelation 2:29, let all who can hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Is today's church unconsciously hearing or consciously listening to the message that God is sending? What is God trying to tell us? Isn't this a message about God's direction? Isn't he trying to show us where God wants us to go? Hasn't he laid out a path, a direction, and a destination that he wants man to be in? In 1 Samuel 3:1 through 10, God called out to young Samuel four times, with Samuel responding by saying, yes, Lord, I'm listening. We read that in 1 Samuel 3:9 and 10. Now, the first three times, Samuel heard the voice of God. The next time, Samuel listened to the message of God. And because Samuel listened intently, God blessed and empowered Samuel. And as 1 Samuel 3:19 indicates, Samuel's people then chose to seek his advice and listen to him carefully. Now, that's important because God is communicating to us and with us and for us if only we are willing to hear him and listen to him and follow him. Regarding God the Father and God his Son, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 3, verse 7 says this, that the Holy Spirit warns us to listen to him. If that isn't enough, John says in Revelation 3:22, he who has an ear, let him hear and listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So I have a question. It's an uncomfortable question. It's a question that when you're asked this, if you ever make your first time and way into the church and the question's asked, it'll make you squirm, and that is this. How many people have ever heard the Holy Spirit speak to them? Now that's weird, isn't it? See, if you walk into a church for the first time and they say they're like, oh, that's one of those churches. Oh boy. Now they're talking about Holy Spirit and voices. This is really weird. See, it's not necessarily audible, but it's always spiritual. And if it's according to God, it's always effectual. Christian author Rene Pachet claims that the Spirit, quote, speaks to the church on the Lord's behalf, bringing messages of encouragement or reproof, a call to repentance or to further work. Continues Pachet, he says, he speaks through the measured voice of events or causes the still small voice to be heard in moments of prayer. He concludes, he says, yes, God always has something to say to us, end quote. The question is, are we hearing it and are we listening to it? Now, when I was a kid, I went to church a lot. I know, you're thinking, oh, he's just bragging. No, I'm not. I heard everything in church. If you ask me, I heard it. I heard it all. I heard the choir. I heard the sermon. I heard the people. I heard the prayers. I heard the scripture. I heard it all. But I didn't necessarily listen to it. I mean, I heard it. We sat in the back row of our church. It was called the Peanut Gallery. That's what they called us. And we'd be back there, and I learned so much in my church in the back row. I learned who was dating who liked who did well in their homework, who skipped out on school. I learned everything. I heard everything. I didn't listen to a lot of things, admittedly, as a kid in church. Are we, as Merriam-Webster put it, paying attention or giving consideration to God's communication and direction? Here's what we want to know. You see, he wants to talk to us. And he wants to direct us, and he wants to guide us in our lives. He knows the direction, and he knows the destination of where he wants us to be. I want to read a parable. Jesus shares this parable in Matthew 13, 3 through 9. We're going to split this up in two blocks, 3 through 9, and then verses 18 through 23. Farmers, you will like this. This applies to you. Starting with verse 3, Matthew 13. A farmer was sowing grain in his fields. As he scattered the seed across the ground, some fell beside a path, and the birds came and ate it. And some fell on rocky soil where there was little depth of earth. The plants sprang up quickly enough in the shallow soil, but the hot sun soon scorched them, and they withered and died, for they had so little root. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns choked out the tender blades. But some fell on good soil, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as he had planted. Now, I love verse 9. Jesus says in verse 9, if you have ears, listen. Now we move on to verses 18 through 23, and he explains the parable. Then he says, Jesus says, here's the explanation of the story I told about the farmer planting grain. The hard path where some of the seeds fell represents the heart of a person who hears the good news about the kingdom and doesn't understand it. Then Satan comes and snatches away the seeds from his heart. The shallow, rocky soil represents the heart of a man who hears the message and receives it with real joy, but he doesn't have much depth in his life, and the seeds don't root very deeply. And after a while, when trouble comes or persecution begins because of his beliefs, his enthusiasm fades and he drops out. The ground covered with thistles, Jesus says, represents a man who hears the message, but the cares of this life and his longing for money choke out God's word, and he does less and less for God. Now listen to verse 23. Verse 23, Jesus says, the good ground, represents the heart of a man who listens to the message and understands it and goes out and brings 30, 60, or even 100 others into the kingdom. You see, according to Jesus, there's a significant difference between hearing and listening. God said on the Mount of Transfiguration to Peter, James, and John, and to all of us today, he says this is my son, my chosen one, listen to him. Now, regarding the messages that are sent by God and his son and his spirit, these messages provide direction for us and to us. For example, Isaiah 30, verse 21, we read these words. If you leave God's paths and go astray, you will hear a voice behind you say, no, this is the way, walk here. Now, I love that because we need that. I told you I went on vacation. We went to Tennessee. It was great. And you may not know that I own a very, very nice electronic apparatus, a device that everybody should have because it's just so handy. It's called a Garmin Nuvi. Yeah, you know about those Garmin Nuvis, right? I love my Garmin Nuvi. If you don't know what a Garmin Nuvi is, it's this little contraption device that suction cups onto your windshield, and you can actually plug in your destination, and Mrs. Nuvi, or Mr. Nuvi, whomever you choose to have, I choose Mrs. Nuvi, Mrs. Nuvi gives you the directions, and then she gives you the destination. So she'll get you to your destination. Now, I like Mrs. Nuvi. Her directions are very specific and very clear until you have to go to the bathroom. It's true. See, if you're following Mrs. Nuvi and you all of a sudden decide that you have to take a bathroom break, a restaurant break, a coffee break, whatever break it is, and you get off that path, here is what you hear. It's the most annoying thing you'll ever hear. You know what I'm talking about. Mrs. Nuvi says this, recalculating. I mean, she could say it better. I mean, there's got to be a better way to recalculating. It's just terrible, and we don't like it. I like Mrs. Newby. I don't like when she says that. Now, what's interesting is we used Mrs. Newby. We wanted to get to Tennessee in one piece, and so we used Mrs. Newby, plugged in our destination, Great Smoky Mountains, Tennessee, had the condo, had the address, plugged it in, and realized that my Garmin Newby does not have Tennessee. Now, this is an apparatus, a device designed to get us from one place to the next, and of all the states, they choose not to have the one that I'm going to vacation to. Now, I bet you can imagine what happens next. I lost a lot of trust in my Garmin Newby. I didn't want to listen to it. I certainly heard it, but I wasn't listening to it. I didn't trust it. So I went with Mr. Google Map, because Google Map, good. Google Map got me there. My point is this, folks. My point is this. Do we trust God? I mean, He has the directions. He knows the destination. Do we trust God to get us to that place where He wants us to be? Have you ever heard instruction without listening to them? See, I grew up on a farm. My dad's a farmer, and retired farmer, 70-year-old farmer. And 7-0. So anyway, so my dad is a retired farmer, and my dad is really great about giving direction. But you may know that farmers have a different set of directions than everybody else. I trust farmers. Farmers have instincts. They know. If you ask a farmer how to get somewhere, they will always tell you how to get somewhere. We lived out in the middle of nowhere, and so if someone stumbled on our property, my dad was there to help them. Now, it sounded something like this. Yeah, you need to go down there to Old Man Jenkins' barn. It's a big red barn, has a white roof, can't miss it. There's a big oak tree about 3 miles past. Hey, gotta go there, you gotta take a right, hang a right by the oak tree, take a left, you'll find your place. And I can tell when my dad or any farmer would talk, they knew what they were talking about. They knew the direction's destination. The people were like this. I hear him, I'm not listening to him. I have no idea what he's saying to me. That's what happens. In many cases, folks, we hear the instruction. We hear the direction. We just don't always listen to it. And folks, I think today we would admit that we need direction. God says, no, this is the way. Walk here. And when we choose not to walk in that way, I can almost hear God saying, recalculating. Remember Philip? I love Philip. In Acts 8, 29 through 40, Philip was very faithful. We find that the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip. And he says this. He says, Philip, go over and walk along beside the chariot. Many of you might not know that the chariot had a eunuch. A eunuch was reading words from Isaiah. And the eunuch was confused and lost. He didn't understand what he was reading. And the Holy Spirit knew that the eunuch needed Philip. So the Holy Spirit moved Philip to the chariot. Now, earlier in that passage, in verse 26 of chapter 8, an angel of the Lord told Philip to go to the road that runs from Jerusalem through the Gaza desert. And Philip did it, and the eunuch listened to him, and the Holy Spirit saved him. The eunuch was saved because Philip chose to listen. You see, this is an example of God speaking and us hearing and then us listening and finally God directing. There's a protocol that's involved in this. You know, the book of Proverbs gives some incredible counsel and direction. It's part of God's wisdom literature, and it is significant and sufficient to direct our lives accordingly. If you've ever read the book of Proverbs, you would admit it gives you some really good instruction. It is God through Solomon speaking and directing, and it's incumbent upon the reader to be hearing and listening. Listen to Proverbs 4:20. It says this, listen, son of mine, to what I say. Listen carefully. Proverbs 5, verse 1, listen to me, my son. I know what I'm saying. Listen. See, it was Solomon through the Holy Spirit providing wisdom and direction. It says, but the man who doesn't, Proverbs 5:23, the man who doesn't listen, according to that verse, Proverbs 5:23, shall die because he will not listen to the truth. He's let himself be led away into incredible folly. Now, we've been led away into incredible folly, haven't we? I found folly. I didn't necessarily like it, but I found it. And when we are led into incredible folly, in many cases, we have gotten off God's path. And we've said this, God, that folly looked great, but it's not my destination, and I know it does not follow your direction. I need you to move me from folly to faith. You see, God speaks and directs. The question is, are we hearing and are we listening to him? We choose our own direction. God says, I'm going to have to recalculate because you're not listening? Keep in mind, it's always the same destination where God wants us to be. It's the directions that God knows what's best for us and what we need. Let's read Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3, our sermon text for today. Listen carefully to this. This is a good passage. It really talks about the difference between hearing and listening. Chapter 2, verse 1. So we must listen very carefully to the truths we have heard, or we may drift away from them. For since the messages from angels have always proved true, and people have always been punished for disobeying them, what makes us think that we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation announced by the Lord Jesus himself and passed on to us by those who heard him speak? Now, the question is, based on this passage, he says, so we must listen very carefully to the truths. The question is, where do you get the truths? Where do we get the truths? We find them in God's word, John 1, 1 through 5, Luke 6, 47. We hear them through God's Spirit, and we talked about it, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. And we hear them through God's people, Romans 10, 15. But just because God speaks to us and directs us doesn't mean that we are hearing and then listening to his messages. Paul said in Romans 10, 16 and 17, but not everyone who hears the good news has welcomed it. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed me when I told them? Verse 17, yet faith comes from listening to this good news, the good news about Christ. Is it any wonder why Jesus said in Luke 8, 18, so be careful how you listen? Now, when we're on vacation and we're a foursome in the car and we're using Mrs. Newby, there's something that normally happens. We'll admit it. It happens a lot. And that is, we're music people. My radio background always comes in. I like music. I'm a fan of music. And so one of the things that we do, and I'm guilty of it. I do it a lot, so I can't hear anymore. But when our favorite jam, our favorite song comes on, here's what we do. We all reach. I mean, it's like this mutual effort to reach for the knob, and I turn this thing as loud as it'll go. And I'm so mad that they now have like a filter. It can't go any higher. I might break the knob off, crank it up. Now, what happens is when we're listening to our favorite songs, and then we turn it into this great Sparks quartet where we're all singing. It is great. Well, it's not really, but it's great to us. My wife's back there like, But we love singing. We love singing, and we love listening to that radio loud. But here's what happens. When we turn the radio up, turn it up. When we turn the radio up, here's what happens. We can't hear the newbie. I mean, we could kind of hear her. We certainly can't listen to her because the radio is louder than Mrs. Newbie. And we choose the radio over Mrs. Newbie because I trust the radio. I don't trust Mrs. Newbie. She removed Tennessee. I don't trust her anymore. Would you believe somebody left today and they said, hey, by the way, they don't have Kentucky either. So if you're from Tennessee or Kentucky, too bad. Your family's never going to visit you. We turn the radio up. We love that. But it's interesting because Jesus says that we have to listen carefully. It's hard to listen carefully if you're hearing other things and you're distracted constantly. It just is. It just is. So if you say, I want to listen to God, I want to know what he's saying to me, we have to remove the distractions. We have to turn down the distractions to make sure and hear his direction. That's how it works. It's interesting because it takes work. See, if God is speaking to us and directing us through his word, his spirit, and his people, then we must be more than just hearers. In fact, we have to be even more than mere listeners. We have to be obedient. We have to be what's called doers and followers of his directives and word. I love what James says in James 1:22. James says this. He says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now, I can admit that when I first came into a church, I was little. I used to lay my head on my mom's lap. It was so soft and warm. I heard everything. I even heard your stomach rumbling. Yes, I knew when you didn't have breakfast. And I remember those days. It was so nice and so comfortable, and I heard, but I didn't listen. But I started out as a hearer, and anybody who walks through the doors of a church, this church, any church for the first time, you know how scary that is. Look at these people. They look like aliens. They're crazy. And then you break down and you realize that we all are, in fact, crazy. But the point is that when you come in, you start out in a church as a hearer. That's what you do. You start as a hearer. And you sit back there and you might be looking at your phone or reading a Pottery Barn magazine. Easy, Melinda. Easy. Somebody read a Pottery Barn magazine the first service. We don't judge. It's all good. Melinda said, no. So just put your magazines away, all right? But we start out as a hearer. That's what you start at. But then God says, I want you to move to become a listener. Because a listener comes in and says, I don't hear the rest of the stuff. I hear what God is saying to all of us. But it's not enough, because now when you move from a listener, now you become a doer. And you get to listen to the message, and you say this, you say, I want to do something about this message. I want to change this world around me because of God's message. We have to move from hearers to listeners to doers, and it takes work. It's not an easy thing to do. Listeners become obedient doers. Dr. Harold Foose, regarding this passage in James 1:22, once said that we must become hearer doers. Sounds like Herradura, doesn't it? The Mexican restaurant over on Hershey. I don't think Harold Foose was talking about Herradura. Good food, by the way. And that is your unabashed plug for Herradura today. If anybody goes there, tell me how it was. But here's what Foose also says. He says that what is heard in the holy place must be practiced in the marketplace. What is heard in the holy place must be practiced in the marketplace. Do we do this? You see, if God is speaking to us and directing us, then we must not only be hearing him and listening to him, but we also must be obeying him and doing things that he asks us to do. I love this passage, Matthew 7:24-27. Listen to this. This is Jesus differentiating between hearing and listening. Starting with verse 24, Matthew 7. Jesus says, all who listen to my instructions and follow them are wise, like a man who builds his house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floods rise and the storm winds beat against his house, it won't collapse, for it is built on rock. Well, listen, 26. He says, but those who hear my instructions and ignore them are foolish, like a man who builds his house on sand. For when the rains and the floods come and storm winds beat against his house, it will fall with a mighty crash. That's interesting, because he differentiates between the two. In fact, he tells us that those who only hear might be ignorant, but those who listen are obedient. Now, Jesus was never one to mince words. I mean, we know that. But he makes it very clear here that indifference leads to disobedience. In fact, he makes it very clear here that we have to be very careful of how we listen. Let me give you an example of this. When I was growing up, and my dad is very, very competent and qualified. He should be 70. So he's very competent and qualified in many things. And he knows his way around tractors and engines and cars and stuff, and I know nothing about it, and that's why I was the worst farmer ever, and that's why he wanted me to go work at McDonald's, which I did. And one thing that my dad gave me, he gave me a lot of wisdom. And I always heard my dad. And my dad said, I bought my first car, and my dad said, Chad, there's something you always have to remember. You have to always check your oil. And I said, Dad, can you show me how to do that? And he did. And it's the little circle thing that you pull out with the big wand, whippy stick wand, and that's how you do it. I know cars. So I learned how to check my oil. It's very important to check my oil. But one of the things my dad always said, and I always heard him say it, Chad, you better make sure your hood is latched. Of course. Who wouldn't do that? I hear that. So one day I was late for school, driving back to Eastern Illinois University. It was a Monday morning, had an early morning class. I'm taking off about a mile down the road and hitting my max peak speed of 55 miles per hour or more. And all of a sudden, poof, and the hood flew up. And I thought, oh yeah, I heard my dad talk about that. So that's what it looks like when the hood flies up. So I got out of the car and I walked around and my hood looked like this. It was a V. Now, the worst thing was the drive back. It's called the drive of shame. That's the mile drive to go back to my dad's house where he was waiting in the driveway. Folks, we're in church. I'm not going to share with you what he said. I don't think that would be wise. But I can assure you that it wasn't a pleasant moment for any of us. So my point is that, and I don't know how he fixed it. You got that hood latched. I don't know how he did it. It's crinkled. So anyway, so that happened. My dad also gave me a lot of wisdom with regards to driving. I'm a very good driver. Not really. And so my dad told me, he said, you need to be aware of something called black ice. I'm like, black ice. Yeah, they're like, there's something black ice. I heard what he was saying. So one day I took off. I was late for work. I was driving down a country road, and I hit my max peak speed of 55 miles per hour or more. And my car started spinning in the middle of the road, going down the road. I'm like, oh, so this is what black ice is. And you have that slow motion moment where you think, well, this is it. This is how I'm going to end on a country road in my Ford Tempo or whatever it was. So it spins and then rolls over on top and comes back down. And I thought, hey, I'm alive. Now I got to go face Dad. That may not work out so well. The point is that, Dad, you told me about black ice, and you told me about latching hoods, and I heard you, but I didn't listen to you. And those are lessons that were hard to learn. And folks, you will admit that when God talks to us, we oftentimes hear him. We'll say, oh, yeah, God, I hear you. But we don't always listen. And we can have some very difficult lessons learned when we don't. Indifference leads to obedience. I want to read verse 3. What makes us think we can escape if we are indifferent? That's a key word to this great salvation announced by the Lord Jesus himself and passed on to us by those who heard him speak. Salvation's the destination. That's where God wants you to be. He's got an earthly destination. He's got a heavenly destination. Earthly destination is this. He wants you saved. Heavenly destination is, because you're saved, he wants to live with you forever in eternity. That's his path for all of us, to live with Jesus. That's what he wants. But if we become indifferent to it, if we say, man, I don't care. I'm all right. I'm probably saved. And we become indifferent, we then miss out on this salvation, this destination that God has announced for us. And all of a sudden, though we may hear him speak, we don't listen to him speak, and we don't do what he says that we need. And so here's what happens. We miss out. We take wrong turns, make bad exits. And it's God who's back there saying, don't make me recalculate. Again, I've got to recalculate? But we do this because we're indifferent. Indifference leads to disobedience. William Barclay once said this. He says, is there any word in which hearing and doing are summed up? There is such a word, and the word is obedience. Jesus demands our implicit obedience. To learn to obey is the most important thing in life, end quote. Now, Jesus said in Luke 11:28, he says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Today, God is speaking to the church. Today, God is speaking to the church. Can you hear him? You see, he's telling the church that he needs us to become the church. No more watered-down messages. No more easy principles. No more directives that don't fit God's will. Today, God says, I need you to become the church, and I need you, the church, to change the world. Because today, folks, the world is changing the church. We failed to listen to God's messages. We hear them. We don't listen to them. And now we're disobedient to them. And the church is failing because of this. Would we agree that today the church is called to get back on the path to Jesus? That's what we're called to do. Revelation 3:20, we read these words. Jesus says, look, I have been standing at the door and I'm constantly knocking. If anyone, here it comes, if anyone hears me calling him and opens, here's your obedience, and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. Are we hearing? Are we listening? What are we doing? Thousands of dollars were found by officers of the law among the belongings of a Detroit beggar. He was brought before a judge in court who asked him, where did you get the money? I'm deaf, replied the beggar. I can't hear you. The judge raised his voice and asked again, where did you get that money? Again, the beggar shook his head and said, I still can't hear you. The judge got an idea. This is a true story, by the way. The judge lowered his voice and said softly, I'll fine you $150. I won't pay it, yelled the beggar, suddenly forgetting all about his deafness. The judge went ahead and said, in addition to the fine, I sentence you to jail for 90 days. Walter B. Knight shares that true story, and he says, God is trying to get the ear of a world which has largely forgotten him, pleadingly saying, O earth, earth, hear the word of the Lord, Jeremiah 22:29. By reading God's word and loving God's spirit and living with godly people, we will assuredly hear from God unconsciously. But will we listen to him intently? And will we do what his word and his spirit and his people need us to do obediently? Moses told his people in Deuteronomy 28:15-19. He says, if you won't listen to the Lord your God and obey these laws I'm giving you, these curses shall come upon you. A lot of curses. We're bad curses. Now I look at many of us and I look at myself and I think of the many bad turns we made in our lives. And I think in many cases we probably would have said something like this, God, I feel like I'm cursed. In In reality, I think all of us would say, I just want to be blessed. I want to live a life that's according to God's will. I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to accomplish it according to his purpose. Folks, we can do this, but it's going to take us hearing and listening and then obediently doing what God's will is for us. See, there's a prescribed protocol for God's people. He speaks and directs, and we must hear him and listen to him and obey him. And I can tell you this, this gives us wisdom, and it gives us direction. The question is, do we want it? Do we want it? Because I can tell you this, the world needs it. If at all, if at any time you read the headlines, Facebook, the news sources, if you read these things and you look at it and you say, what in the world is going on? When did right become wrong and wrong become right? Isaiah 5, verse 20. What has happened? Let me tell you what's happened. Let me tell you what's happened. We might have heard the messages, but we haven't listened to them, and we are not obediently following them. Today is a wake-up call for every single church in this world, a call for us to hear and listen and obey God's words. You see, sadly, our hearing doesn't always lead to listening. Our listening doesn't always mean we're obeying, but that's why we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. We need the study of God's holy word. 1 Timothy 4, 13. And we need the fellowship of God's godly people. Hebrews 10, 25. And we can't be indifferent. We do have to be obedient. 19 people in this church today, 19 people in this church today have chosen to do just this. They have been moved from hearing to listening to obeying. And they will be baptized as an outward sign of that inward change. What is next for them and what is next for us? Here's what's next. They're going to get direction. They're going to experience God's communication. And they will receive direction and wisdom. And their lives will be changed. And the people who meet them and see them and spend time with them, those lives will also be changed. But today, it does not end with this message. It can't end with this message that we are hearing. Rather, as believers, we have to move to a point of hearing, to a point of listening, and finally to a point of obeying. And when we do this, this church, the world's universal church, will change the world around us. That is what we're called to do. We're going to stray. We will move in bad direction. We'll take the wrong exit, and we'll do things in life that don't please God. It's going to happen because we have a sin nature, and I pray that we will do this. I pray that when we do this, that we will hear God say, no, walk here. I pray that in our walk, that we will never have to make God say more than once, recalculating. Let's stand and close with a song by Plum, currently on your contemporary radio stations for Christian music. What do you think? Are you ready? That's a good song. It does ask us to be ready. Well, folks, we got to be ready. Got to be ready for whatever God has in store for us. Today, I know that this is an interesting day. It's a great day. A great day for many blessings that are going to be forthcoming as we go to the Mightier Christian Church to celebrate 19 baptisms. But I know that there are people in this church today, because believe me, I've been down this road not so long ago, where you feel like you may have gotten off the path, where you've lost your direction. And I pray today, before we even go to our benediction, I pray today that we will bow our heads. If you say, you know what, I'm that person. I left the path. I'm not following God's direction. I don't even know what his destination is for me. Today I pray that we will bow our heads and we will silently ask God to restore us onto that path. That we will understand that he wants this salvation and he wants this eternal life to be spent with him. And I ask today that as we pray for this, that we will pray for forgiveness of our sins, that we will ask God to fill our lives and to bless our lives and direct our lives where he wants us to go. He's got a purpose for all of us. Folks, if you're sitting and standing in this church today and you say, I don't think that I have a purpose in my life, I promise you this, you have a purpose in your life. He's given you talents and abilities and gifts, and he wants you to use them for him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with so much. But today, help us to see that you've got direction for us. You've got a destination for us. Help us to want this. And I pray today that you would help us as we stray from that path that you've chosen for us. Help us to long to get back on that path. Help us to never have to hear the words recalculating. But I pray today that you would help us to be trusting and obedient in everything that you have for us. I thank you for blessing us with gifts and talents and abilities, for giving us the things that we never knew we had. And I thank you for making our lives meaningful, not based on what this earth has to offer, but rather what we can offer you and our fellow man. Bless us, help us, save us. Today I pray, and convict us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now as we embark and go to this service at the Mighty Air Christian Church, 19 people being baptized, today we celebrate you and how you've moved in their lives. Bless us and help us today, we pray. Keep us safe as we go to Mighty Air and celebrate this day. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everyone.